Awesome date, May 9th, 2008. Awesome topic, Honey Flash. This is the Awesome Cast.
Honey Flash.
This is still the Awesome Cast. Folks, welcome back to the Awesome Cast, your podcast for everything awesome. We actually got the full awesome crew back at Awesome Central here, and I'm Basil.
I'm Eric.
I'm Nobody.
And that's us.
So what are we doing, Basil?
So, okay, a while back, we, during the early years, back in March when we were doing our rock band Awesome Cast, we had mentioned that there was a tournament, we were going to go to the tournament, and we'll tell you how it was. Well, it's been two, you know, millennia later, and we actually went to the tournament.
Yeah, we did.
Yep.
And so we figured we'd bring it to you for this week's World of Awesome.
I believe that we came in third. Whether or not this is the truth is irrelevant, but I will stick to my guns that we came in third.
But Nobody, we did come in third.
Well, did we?
Yes.
Oh. Oh, excellent! Then my reality has conquered the real reality. Excellent!
So, to roll that back a little bit, in late March, GameStop hosted a local big old rock band tournament in one of our bigger malls in Huntsville, Alabama. And they had, was it 14 bands? 16 bands?
I think they had more than that, didn't they?
It was 17 bands.
17 bands.
Yeah, most of them all had four people in the band.
A couple had five.
Well, at five. And
if you want to know how you have a fifth member in a rock band, you give a guy a guitar and let him just, like, flail it for about 10 minutes during the song.
Yeah, that's pretty much what that one band did. But they got voted out, like, first round.
Yeah.
Can't really count them.
But, so, we did it. It was kind of an interesting setup. They had a stage and a plasma TV for the players.
Oh, that was a mistake.
That was a bad mistake. If you guys don't know, plasma TVs can cause some lag. And when you're playing a game based on timing, lag is bad. There were times when we couldn't pass things on medium and easy that we can beat on hard and expert at home.
Yeah, like I could play just about every song on bass, and I distinctly cause us to fail the song that we eventually failed.
And we were not the only band having
and
that problem.
I was so embarrassed. Like my rock band penis has shrunk.
Despite that, we had a good time.
Oh, yeah, that was great.
That was probably the only black mark on the whole...
Yeah, the whole experience was actually really fun.
Yeah, they had a real stage, you got up there. It was all based on crowd participation, so not being old, you know, like, not doing so great, the songs actually didn't matter quite as much. And it really lets you, it was based on your style and your flair and where you point at the crowd and say, yeah, yeah, you know, start shouting, you bitches, or whatever rock people would say, I don't know.
Yeah, bringing a lot of fans to a Battle of the Rock Band contest is definitely helpful.
Yes.
Yeah, that was one thing we did notice, that if you had some friends in the gallery and they were shouting.
The other thing, the thing that eventually bested us, and this is just to show you how important showmanship was. Well, the band that we went up against, right as they were about to start their song, they got up there and announced that this song clearly needed more cowbell.
And then they proceeded to bring a fifth member, a secret band member, up with a cowbell. And every time the microphone beat started, they would slap the cowbell. I'm sorry, folks. We couldn't beat that. There was nothing.
They deserved to win.
Yeah,
they did.
They deserved to win. You know.
And it was one of the songs that actually had a cowbell noise, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I can't remember what
song
it was.
Don't Fear the Reaper. That song is actually really famous for its cowbell part.
Yeah, Don't Fear the Reaper.
You know, it really showed foresight on their part. A little bit of creativity mixed in there.
Well, they had that was the band with the drummer that was drumming with Giant Bones.
Yes.
Like, they had their drummer dressed up like a guy from the Flintstones.
Their costumes were the best. The drummer was dressed up from the Flintstones. One of the guitarists was the Burger King.
Yeah, somebody had, like, a death mask. Yeah.
They had shopped at Spencer and Hot Top before coming. You could tell.
Well, we were just wearing unmatching suit ties.
Which still looked really good and was still, you know, pretty distinctive.
Anyway, it was a total blast. I'd do it again in a heartbeat.
Oh, yeah. Like, I'm thinking about next year.
Yeah, thinking about next year already. Costuming. More costuming ideas.
I liked the suit idea, but I would probably make sure that we matched a little bit better. Like, that would be the only adjustment I would make.
Guys need, like, bowler hats or fedoras or something.
Like, you need your Onizuka suit back.
I need my Onizuka. That's right, I could use my pimp suit.
You could.
I could do the singer next time with the pimp suit, the Onizuka pimp suit.
Then you could do drums.
Yeah, I'll be on drums next time.
And I'll be in the gallery once more because I can't compete because I work at GameStop. Anyways, this week's topic is an awesome little anime. Our first anime review on the Awesome Cast. And it's a wonderful OAV Eric constantly talks about.
Brilliant.
Constant laments that we've yet to get a American local DVD release.
Seriously, guys, come on.
Gainax's interpretation of Cutie Honey, re-Cutie Honey.
Oh man, so awesome.
So great.
Like, I don't really like Cutie Honey for the most part, but I love this series. This incarnation of it is by far and away the best incarnation, in my opinion. Which is right.
I agree.
Yeah, it is the best version of it. I've seen all the Cutie Honeys. And there's a lot of them. It started off in the 70s by, you know, the creepy stepdaddy of the creepy uncle of Mecha, Gona Guy. He did, like, Mazinger Z and a bunch of other things that I can't think of right now. He's also done Devilman, and he's, you know, his stuff's usually, like, slightly raunchy, usually pretty violent, but always fun. Cutie Honey's actually, I think, one of the first Magical Girl shows ever.
Yeah, it is. A lot of Sailor Moon fans, a lot of Sailor Moon actually gets its origins from Cutie Honey. A lot of the voice actresses who did the voice acting for the original Sailor Moon TV show in Japan were huge fans of Cutie Honey, and the actual cartoon had a lot of references to it. It's an important part of the heritage, but unfortunately when I go back and watch it, I can't quite identify.
The story's pretty simple. There's an evil organization named Panther Claw, and they want to rule the world, usually by stealing things. And they've also, in most versions, kill the Dr. Kisaragi, who was this, who developed robots and nanomachines and stuff.
System.
And his crown achievement was Cutie Honey, who, much like, for example, Astro Boy, where the creator, Astro Boy's human inspiration, died, and so he recreated Astro Boy in his image. Same thing here.
Yep.
Only like, a daughter.
Honey Kisaragi, she died, and so he recreated her as a nanomachine colony named Cutie Honey. And she has a really interesting power. She can manipulate all the matter immediately around her, however she wishes. The trick is, she has to decompose the matter to reassemble it. The upshot of this means boobies. Ass. Nakedness.
I think you said it all. I mean, like I was going to jump in with some boobies there, but there's nothing left for me. What it basically means is that when she does her costume transformations, as you see in a lot of, like, Sailor Moon, like nobody was talking mm-hmm. about, where you got the hint of them going naked.
Yeah, well, they actually show it.
Cutie Honey, you get naked. Not only that, when, I don't know if it's in all of the series, but I know it is in Re-Cutie Honey, when she's weakened, her body actually starts to eat things around her, like her clothes, to restore her power. And, also what this power means is that she doesn't usually turn into, like, different forms. She turns into different personas, almost, of herself. There's the motorcycle woman, and she has a motorcycle and a motorcycle outfit and different colored hair. There's the armored Cutie Honey, who's a knight in shining armor and has a heart-shaped shield and a sword. There's the director with green hair. What was that? What does she describe herself as? The cute and upcoming director of the film. All these little costumes and designs and gimmicks. And they're not usually things like, well, I have built a rocket launcher out of my arm. They're things like, I'm a nurse, and I'm, you know, here doing nurse things with a giant needle and scalpel.
Martina in Slayers. In Slayers Next, references Cutie Honey when she comes in and she's like, sometimes I'm a mysterious blah blah blah, sometimes I'm a pitiable old woman, and sometimes I'm the real me. And that's what Cutie Honey says when she transforms back into Cutie Honey.
Yeah, who is this? The daring motorcycle girl.
She'll go over who all she was throughout the entire episode, and then she'll switch back into her ass-kicking form.
Yeah, and she'll say, none of these I know Senshi, Cutie Honey song. So.
Yeah, so, and then, like I said, she uses all these forms to infiltrate, then goes to ass-kicking, and then by day she's a bumbling receptionist with a heart of gold.
Bumbling receptionists with hearts of gold.
But she's not the only character in this show. There's a lot of other really awesome characters, like Na-Chan.
And other of them get naked, too. Like Na-Chan.
For those of you who complain that there's way too much good yaoi out there and not enough good yuri, I highly recommend Cutie Honey.
Re-Cutie Honey.
Re-Cutie Honey. None of the other incarnations.
None of the other incarnations had that.
Actually, but, some of them do. Like, the first one sort of does, a little bit.
But I thought it's just, like, insinuated. It's never like in Re-Cutie Honey where it's like, let's press our naked bodies together to reactivate Cutie Honey's power.
Well, yes.
Great scene, by the way, guys. Great scene.
It was absolutely beautiful.
That was the thing. It was an actual emotional, very heart-wrenching scene of two hot women getting naked and pressing their bodies up against each other. And I'm not joking there, guys.
That's the thing. Well, Eric kind of talks a lot about how she gets naked and she has tits and boobs. The most impressive thing about Re-Cutie Honey
tits
is simply how...
boobs?
You know what I meant! You know!
Two in the front, one in the back, dancing? I had to say it. I had to slip it in there somehow.
Anyways.
Anyhow, the real impressive thing about the show is actually just how beautiful it is.
Oh, it's pretty.
The art is just absolutely amazing. It's very highly stylized. It's got a very, it's done with all the modern technology, modern smooth lines, modern color consistency, but at the same time, it has kind of that retro feel to it.
Squash and stretch people. It has a ton of the cartoony, like Warner Brothers kind of like.
Yeah, it has a lot of things that they don't, a lot of tricks that they don't put in most animation anymore, and it's real sad that they don't, but they do it in Re-Cutie Honey.
Oh yeah, they definitely had some really, really good direction. Got good art direction.
They've got good art direction, Red.
Heck, they've got a lot of really good Korean people working in the basement.
Yeah. See, when
Brad?
And... Anyways, my favorite, actually, a lot of Cutie Honey was the characters. Like, every character in the show, I loved. said Notch on, who is the director, pretty much the director of police as far as the Panther Claw activities are concerned. And she's like, you know, almost a cigar-chomping, ass-kicking, gun-toting, you know, chick. While she might be regular human, by God, you do not mess with her.
Have you, if anybody out there has read the Harry Dresden novels, think Karen Murphy. I mean, she's kind of shorter, she's smaller, but she will pick that gun up and run towards that monster and kick that 6'8" monster in the face, like, if it comes into her town. And it's the same thing, like, Notchon is an ass
kicker. She'll bite its ankles.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. And then you have Haiji Semi. He is the private detective.
No one can see any of the quotation marks.
It doesn't matter.
That's why I said quote-unquote.
Who drives around a cool car, has an awesome little hat, and is constantly like, I know something you don't know, and I'm not. Okay, here it is. And he's sort of the glue that sort of binds them, all three of them together. And then you have the stupid, cranky old newspaper guy at the office who looks like Lupin.
Looks like Lupin the Third.
He's constantly yelling at Honey. And the old lady who's the janitor of the place, who constantly keeps, you know, Honey fed with awesome rice balls.
She's apparently the janitor of Tokyo. Doesn't she clean up the entire city when it gets destroyed or something bizarre?
She just enjoys cleaning up the entire city when it's destroyed or something bizarre.
Okay. What? Oh, sorry.
No spoilers.
I got told no spoilers. Sorry. That old woman doesn't clean up Tokyo.
Yeah, don't pay attention to the old woman.
It's been destroyed.
There's nothing to see there.
No, we kidding. Actually don't see her cleaning up Tokyo. Just her insistence at wanting to clean up Tokyo.
The series, it just kind of builds, like, up. There's, what, four main lieutenants of Sister Jill, who's the main head evil lady of Panther Claw.
There's, like, and Cobalt Claw.
Red Claw.
Scarlet Claw.
Scarlet Claw. Gold Claw and Black Claw.
Right? I think it's Black Claw.
Is it Black Claw?
It's Black Claw now, even if we're wrong.
If we're wrong, Claw it's Black now. Claw now. And so it's kind of gotten.
And each one of them has their own, you know, personality quirks
and unique ways of fighting. Wait till you get to the fight at the end of the first. It's split into four different 45-minute OAVs.
Three
different 45-minute.
What's neat is actually, the chief director is Hideki Anno, the guy who made, you know, Ava. This is after he's had all his mental breakdowns with Ava. He's now happy and rich again. So Cutie Honey reflects that because it's much more upbeat and happy and not horribly depressed at the end.
Oh, thank God for that.
And he was the chief director, and he directed all of this overall, but he had also had other directors that worked under him to work on the individual episodes. And they all sort of threw their own little unique flavors. The first was Imagashi, who does things like Furry Curry and Gurren Lagann.
It kind
of
shows.
Yeah, you can see a lot of the Furry Curry.
Well, you can see a lot of the Gurren Lagann, too.
I haven't seen enough Gurren Lagann to tell, but I can tell you can see a ton of the FLCL on it.
Well, let me give you a secret to how to spot the Gurren Lagann influence. It's made of pure awesome.
It's true.
Like, that's how you tell. Like, when something is totally and completely awesome.
I gotta start making anime meetings again.
And the second one was done by a guy named Takemichi Ito. I haven't seen a lot of his stuff, but he definitely, you know, seems to be a lot more of the, that's the same episode where there's a lot of character development, not so much fighting, but you definitely see how the characters grow as people. It's also the scene where you see the two naked chicks, you know.
It is, it's a really emotional, beautifully well-done, stylized, intricate piece of character development that just happens to involve two naked women rubbing each other.
She just wiped all my thoughts out of my brain. What I really like about the series is it's got a lot of action, it's got a ton of action, it's got a ton of sex stuff in it, not necessarily like hardcore, you know, we want
like,
to fuck, but
no one ever actually gets it on. It's
yeah,
just,
no one gets it on. No one,
I mean, it's just, there's lots of fan service.
Yeah, there's tons of fan service.
Now, as I was growing up an anime fan, and I was buying little Slayer's VHSs, and I was watching the previews that came along those, I saw a lot of Cutie Honey things, and all the nakedness actually really turned me off of Cutie Honey for a long time because I thought it was just all porn. And it's really not. There's fan service, but it's really innocent.
Also, yeah. I want to stress that version you saw was also new Cutie Honey.
Yeah, that was actually the raciest version of Cutie Honey, wasn't it?
Or I don't know. They're
really Cutie Honey.
Really Cutie is pretty racy as far as fan service. The trick was that new Cutie Honey wanted to be way too dark and edgy, and really ended up being, like, the worst one of the series.
I think that nobody has stumbled, like, right on the nail on the head, innocent. Like, that is what, like, it's never, like, haha, come look at, you know, it's never got this whole, like, kind of creepy, you know, doing porn vibe.
In fact, what she's saying in the opening thing is, don't look, don't look.
Yeah. It's just got an open-handed, look, this is all fun for all. Let's all just have a good time. You know, let's kick some bad guy's ass, let's look at some titties, let's, you know, have some good moving character development. Everything in it is innocent. I like that.
And well, the trick is, like, honey, she loves everything. She loves everything. Guys. It doesn't matter who it is, what they are, you know, she loves them.
That's the eye system.
And even her system that they call the imaginary induction system is still called the eye system. Which I in Japanese in that weebu language is love.
Oh man, so, I didn't know that.
Well, maybe someone didn't know. I don't know. Basically, out there in the weebu nation,
all of those weeaboos out there, Oda
they
Shinai,
know the word "I" and they know the word "chibi" and they know the word "kawaii." Well, actually, they probably know the word "kawaii," but they should know "kawaii" because that's what they're doing to me.
And the third episode was by a guy named Mayasuki, who did a lot of the Ava stuff, which you can sort of see in the third episode.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a lot of that stuff where you would see, like, the emergency displays, a lot of tags going, you know, da, 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 da. And even in the end, me and Eric were like, okay, don't end up Ava's on us now.
Yeah, don't do this.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
And it didn't.
Again, now it walked up to that line.
It walked the line.
It walked that line, but it veered the right direction rather than jumped off the cliff.
You know, the line that divided Ava between being awesome and being kind of crazy? That's the line we're talking about, and it veered towards awesome.
We're hoping that the same thing is going to happen with this new rebuild of Ava project that Anno's working on. Because he said it's going to be a little bit different. And again, he's happy now. He's got a hot wife. You know, he's got money. So, we'll see what happens.
I hope Kaoru's in it more.
Considering apparently he shows at the end of the first movie...
Yeah, he shows
and there's
up
three
way,
movies?
Yeah, he shows up way sooner.
Oh, excellent. Oh, glorious day.
Oh, sorry, spoilers.
Oops. Guys, there's a spoiler warning.
Oddly enough, actually, they're working it the same way they did Rikiri Honey, where Anno's the chief director, but I believe they have Mayasuki and Imagashi actually directing the bits. So, and if I'm wrong, you know, check ANN, yell at me if you want, our email is osmcast@gmail.com. Send us emails, please.
No, you're listening, guys. But not you, Brad. Don't you send an email. I don't want to get one from you.
We know you will be on the awesome cast.
We know you want to be on here, but you can't.
There's only room for three on this couch.
Actually, there's not even room for three on this couch. Yeah, I'm sitting on the arm.
Yeah, we're kind of on the arm, serious.
Maybe we should get a bigger couch.
I have a bigger couch. They just need to move it out to the curb for me so I can set it up so we can actually sit on it.
Now that's off topic.
Swerving somewhere back towards Cutie Honey.
You have, couches are comfy. You know what else is comfy? Cutie Honey.
Boobies.
Wow. You guys went there.
Oh, by missile.
Oh, yeah.
Go watch that first episode, guys.
You get to watch, you know, missiles versus boobs. Guess who wins?
Guess who wins?
Ha! Mine are much perkier than yours.
Yes! Anyway.
But, you know, if you're slightly, you know... If you're prudish, then I guess I can't recommend you watch this anime, but...
I don't know. Other friend of ours like it that's pretty religious conservative?
Well, there's religious conservative and there's prudish. They're not always the same thing.
Oh, I've always associated them.
Now, admittedly, if you're a little bit prudish, maybe I can't recommend because there's a lot of fan service, but if you don't mind the fan service, it's awesome. Watch it. Go download it. Sadly, like we said, there's no DVD release
in America. DVD. They did release the live action. So everybody go out right now and go buy the live action movie. It's one of the few Japanese live action movies I actually really, really enjoyed. It's a lot like the series. No nudity, unfortunately.
The OAV actually was made as a companion to the live action movie.
Yeah.
And it's really, really good. Like, it's almost as good as...
Re-Cutie Honey.
So, go buy that, so show them that we want the actual anime series here in America.
Well, I want to step in and say that the movie was good, but Cutie Honey the Live, the TV show, is not. is not so good.
You've only watched like one episode. It gets better. It gets so much better.
In case you don't know, guys, I was turned off by that one episode. Kitty Honey the Live, it's the current live action Kitty Honey series going on in Japan.
It actually just finished wrapping up.
Yeah, just finished wrapping up. Not to be confused with Re Kitty Honey the Live Action movie.
It's definitely interesting. It's not as good as Re Cutie Honey or live action movie, but it's got its ups. It's got its ups, but you do have to let it build before it gets there.
And my attention span isn't that long.
But don't worry, because Re Cutie Honey, it's all right.
It's all right. And hey, guys, if you buy the live action in America, you get a lunchbox. Come on, guys.
We'll get the special edition.
The special edition's pretty much all that's left out there. It's the last time checking.
And also the awesome keychain.
Yeah, keychain, great keychain, which one day I will steal from Basil. He doesn't think I'm going to steal it from him.
No, you're not.
He doesn't think I'm going to do it.
I'll kill you. I'll end you.
I'll cut you, man.
Don't think I won't. I'll be like, Basil Beam! Or something.
I thought it would be Basil Opai Misa. Oh, yeah, I went there. I went there.
Well, speaking as a fat American.
I'm right there with you, man.
In conclusion, Cutie Honey, cutie awesome.
Very awesome.
I think you get two big round awesomes out of awesome.
I think I agree with that assessment.
I will give it 7 awesomes out of awesome. 1 to represent each color of the rainbow that was so amazingly well used in throughout the entireness of this series.
Oh yeah, there's lots of rainbows.
Lots of colors.
Oh my god, lots of color. Like, I just watch it and just freak out and go, oh my god, the colors!
Like, the art color. I can emphasize, we really can't show you in an audio podcast on how pretty the show is, but it is incredibly pretty. It's got really good color direction, really good art direction.
Like, they actually think about what color things should be and not what color they just happen to be. It's so brilliant.
I mean, they do use the entire spectrum of color in a really, really, really cool, imaginative, awesome ways.
So 7 awesomes out of awesome from nobody. Which I guess means those awesomes don't mean much.
It is a veritable rainbow.
Rainbow.
Of awesome.
That's really pretentious, guys.
So, awesomely pretentious.
Oh, yeah. So until next time, guys, stay awesome. I don't know. Something like that.
Fuck it!
We're out.